Amen. Amen. Malachi chapter number 2, verse 17 is our text. And while you're turning, I love that old song, Draw Me Nearer. Amen. Matter of fact, I love those old songs. We used to sing more of them when I was a boy, I believe. We sang more of those songs that were what today we just use for invitation songs. Songs that had conviction. We need some of those, I believe, in this day. We need some more of those conviction songs to make us remember we belong to Him. And we ought to want to be closer to Him. Amen. And I appreciate those songs. By the way, let me mention, let's remember to pray for Brother Woodard, Brother George Woodard. He's still sick and been sick for a while, back and forth with this thing. So let's remember him in our prayer if we can, and ask God to touch him and help him. And then I also want to say about these young men singing and the ladies helping them. That's a blessing to me. I see some young men wanting to do something for God. Amen. Young people. Amen. Wanting to do something for God. That's encouraging to me and exciting to me. And I want to encourage them. And if I can, I want to pour gas on it. Amen. And help them just to go on for God. Amen. All right. Malachi chapter number 2, verse number 17 is our text. The Bible says, "Ye have wearied the Lord with your words. Yet ye say, wherein have we wearied him? When you say, everyone that doeth evil is good in the sight of the Lord, and he delighteth in them. Or, where is the God of judgment? Behold, I will send my messenger, and he shall prepare the way before me, and the Lord whom ye seek shall suddenly come to his temple, even the messenger of the covenant whom ye delight in. Behold, he shall come, saith the Lord of hosts." Again, if you'll jump down to verse number 13, we read this morning, 13, 14, and 15. Verse number 13, "Your words have been stout against me, saith the Lord. Yet ye say, what have we spoken so much against thee? Ye have said, it is vain to serve God. And what profit is it that we have kept his ordinance, and that we have walked mournfully before the Lord of hosts? And now we call the proud happy. Yea, they that work wickedness are set up. Yea, they that tempt God are even delivered." Let's go to the Lord in prayer at this time. Brother Steve Vincent, would you lead us in prayer, please?
Our Father, we are thankful once again to be in your house this evening.
Yes, Lord, we are.
Thank you for your love, mercy, and grace. Good day we've had in the house of God, the good songs we've enjoyed.
Thank you, Lord.
I do pray, Lord, you grant liberty in the preaching hour. I pray you'll touch your man and, Lord, give him that liberty and grace.
Help us, Lord, help us.
Preach the Word of God. Thank you, pray you give us receptive hearts and ears. Lord, may your will be done in the service tonight.
Yes.
Lord, in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. Amen. Thank you for standing. You can be seated. And I do appreciate that prayer. Well, these verses, verse 13, 14, and 15, just coincide so closely with chapter 2, verse 17, in what they're saying. That the whole argument, I said, I believe chapter 2, verse 17, and chapter 3, verse 1, is the key to the whole book. They're asking, where is the God of judgment? In other words, they're saying, what's God doing in all this? We see evil seeming to prosper. We see good seeming to be on the decline. And they're saying, where is the Lord in all this? Where is the God of judgment? The God that draws a line. The God that says, no more of that. The God that puts a stop to the wickedness that's going on. And they're saying, where is that God? God said, I am coming. Amen. The point I really believe of the whole book is that in spite of everything that's gone on in Israel's life, nothing has changed the plan of God. Amen. That's right. But I'm going to tell you, it'll be a good day and a happy day in our life, my life and yours, when we recognize that nothing that takes place, nothing anybody else does, nothing that the devil himself does can stop the plan and the purpose of God. Amen. Now, we can get out of God's will. I understand that. We can mess things up for ourselves, but we're not going to mess up things for Him. Amen. Amen. We can get into a place that we have detoured ourselves, into a place where that we're not going to enjoy the blessings that we could have enjoyed, but we are not going to detour God's plan, and God's able to do what He set out to do, and He will. That's what He's saying here, that He's going to bring it to pass. His Son is going to come, His messenger is going to come, and He's going to straighten things out when that He comes. And so, but He's saying, your words are against me. He said, you're saying, where is the God of judgment? You're saying that it doesn't pay to serve God. Verse number 14 and 15 is where we're going to primarily look tonight as we studied verse number 13 this morning. I want to say that as we looked at that, we noticed that these people had a problem of mouthing off to God, if I could say it that way. Amen. That's what we'd say. They were just mouthy people. They were people, and by the way, Israel had a heritage of that. They came out of Egyptian bondage, barely have shaken the dust of Egypt off of them, and they're out there complaining. Amen. They've come to the Red Sea and they said, Moses, we'd been better off to die back yonder in Egypt as to die out here in the wilderness at the Red Sea. And then God parts the water. God brings them through. God feeds them with manna. God gets water out of the rock. God blesses and blesses. And you know what they do the next chance they get? They get a complainers club going. Amen. And they start mouthing off to God, and I'll say that same problem is in our day to day. It's not a Hebrew problem, amen. It's a human problem, amen. Really, that's right. And if we're not careful, it'll do us like it did them. It gets them in trouble in the future, amen. And so we're about ready to discover exactly what their statements were against God. I want to remind you again that chapter 3 deals with God decrying their ungodly actions in the first 6 verses, and then their ungodly attitudes in the next 6 verses. Then in these 3 that we're looking at now, their ungodly arguments, as they argue with God about how He's not being fair unto them. Amen. And I get amazed when I think about what goes on today in the secular world. It has gotten big, this thing about having these discussion groups. I'm not just talking about in religion. By the way, that's gotten big in religion. Everybody get around the coffee table and everybody get their own Bible, whatever version, doesn't matter. And everybody talk about whatever they think that verse means to them. And everybody's right. Nobody's wrong. In other words, it means nothing. Amen. Now, one of the problems with that, God has a line of authority. By the way, most of those groups that have that discussion group are anti-authority. They got a problem with authority. Amen. That's why they're meeting in that group. But that's also why it can't stand, is because anything with more than one head is a monstrosity. Amen. And it'll come to an untimely death. Amen. Amen. And so God will disperse that thing when it's not founded and grounded right, and it doesn't have a head or a leader to lead it. Amen. But it's not just in religious circle, but in worldly things. And I think about things such as Alcoholics Anonymous, and I'm not just railing on Alcoholics Anonymous, but I do know this, that it doesn't take 12 steps to get to God. Amen. It doesn't take 12 steps to get rid of your addiction. When you come to God, God can deliver you that moment. Amen. Amen. But I do know that if you've sinned against light, it's going to be harder to deal with that problem than it was if you hadn't sinned against light. Amen. If you hadn't sinned against knowledge, if you'd gotten in it in ignorance, you can get over that a lot easier. Sometimes God said, all right, you've made your bed. It's going to be hard and it's going to be a burden and you're going to have to struggle. Amen. But He'll still give you grace to get out of it. I believe that. Amen. But they'll get together in their groups and they'll talk about what's bothering them. And one man's got this and the lady's got that, and they're all talking about their problems, and when it all is said and done, they're not accountable for their sin. I'm a drunkard, for example, because, and you can just fill in the blank, it's not me, it's their fault. It's everybody else's fault. Right. Amen. It's because I had a problem growing up. I had a bad childhood. I had a bad experience. I had, you know, just name it, whatever you want to name it. They've got all these excuses. That's exactly what was going on in Malachi's day. They were arguing with God and they were saying, God is not fair. I know we're reaping what we've sown, but it's not fair. That's really what it boiled down to, and their actions. All right, their arguments. Verse number 14, he mentions their argument. It's a twofold complaint against God that runs through verses 14 and 15. And it begins with this. He said, ye have said it is vain to serve God. You know what vain? Vain means empty, worthless, useless. They're saying it does not pay to serve God. It is useless to serve God. And what profit, there's the not paying, what profit is it that we have kept His ordinance and that we have walked mournfully before the Lord of hosts? Now let me back up again and say, I said it this morning, they did not serve God. They were not keeping His ordinances and they were not walking mournfully before Him. And yet they were saying, we've done all this and we're not getting paid for it. Amen. Now they're saying that it's not worth it to serve God. Amen. You might hear it said like this. Nothing good comes from going to church, from paying your tithes, from witnessing, from reading the Bible, etc., etc. You go on and talk about they saying nothing good comes. And apparently they felt themselves to be in this sorry present state, never imagining that their sins is what put them there, not their good deeds. Amen. Not their righteousnesses. They're not there because they've served God. They're there because of their sins. Amen. Amen. Now, here's a little bit of history. You know this, and I've touched on it a little bit as we studied it, but it's just a reminder that after their return of the Jews from the land of Babylonian captivity, they returned to find themselves in a barren, blasted, and bankrupt land. The land had laid desolate for 70 plus years. And even before that, right before when they were carried away captive, the Babylonians destroyed every plant that they could. They destroyed every good tree that they could. They destroyed every city, every good thing. They took all the good people out of the land and left the lower base people there. Amen. And they let things just crumble down and fall apart. It's like when businesses and people that are working at things move out of the inner city and they leave only in there those that are takers and not those that are producers. Then that thing starts falling apart. That's what had happened in the land of Israel.
Right.
Now Israel's returned from Babylon to captivity and they're trying to make it, but they're having a hard time trying to make things better in that blasted and bankrupt land that they're living in. They remembered the wealth of the Babylonians. They remembered the wealth of the Persians, gold seemingly everywhere. Amen. But they saw their brethren only in poverty and penury. In their sorrowful state, they forgot that it was their sins that caused them to go into captivity to start with. God had said He'd bless them if they'd only obey Him. Amen. Amen. God had said that He would bless them if they'd only obey Him. And yet they sinned and they rebelled against God. And because of their sin, they'd been carried away captive. But they not only forgot that it was their sin that took them there, they forgot that it was the grace of God that got them out of there. Amen. They forgot how good it was of God to remember them after 70 years. Amen. And that God had preserved, amen, had preserved them from destruction at the hands of the enemy. Amen. You remember how that Haman wanted to kill all the Jews. Wicked Haman had come up with a plan, but God providentially provided a deliverer. Praise God. Amen. And I'm telling you, over and over again, God had shown His grace to keep them from destruction at the hands of the enemy. And the same providential grace had allowed them to return home safely. And now they're fussing at God who's been so good to them. Amen. Looking at their present state, their present troubles, they're feeling sorry for themselves. And they begin to complain and accuse God of not being fair. They saw the supposed wealth and prosperity of those who serve false gods. They contrasted that with the troubles and the oppressions on the heads of those that attempted to serve the one true God. They decided that serving God doesn't really pay. Perhaps we find ourselves, I'm preaching to us now, so perhaps we find ourselves sometimes entertaining these same thoughts. Having this same kind of pity party. Amen. You go into the parking lot of the average church and look at the few vehicles that are in the parking lot, and you may notice some of them have different color fenders. Some of them have bald tires. Some of them have headliners hanging down. Amen. You go to the average mall on the same Lord's Day, it'll be packed, by the way. And a lot of nice cars there. Polished to perfection. Amen. With brand new radial tires. Amen. And it just seems like they got money to burn. They're not even honoring God. They're not even honoring God's day. They're not even in the house of God. And we say, Lord, why is that so? If we're not careful, we'll get in the same boat as these people and say, really, you know, it doesn't pay to serve God. Amen. Perhaps you look at people. You look at that poor old church member who struggles to make ends meet. And yet he still faithfully pays his tithes. Faithfully attends church. Then you compare him to the average worldling that eats out in fine restaurants, wears fancy clothes, even designer jeans, goes on extravagant vacations, visits theaters, drinks alcoholic beverages, buys lottery tickets, and seems to have money to burn. And you say, Lord, I wonder if it really pays to serve God. Matter of fact, this last statement they made in verse number 14, they said, we have walked mournfully before the Lord of hosts. That mournfully shows they're in a state of sorrow, a state of affliction. And here's that they have put on sackcloth for mourning. They are grieving in their heart. You know what they're mourning? They're not mourning a loved one that's passed away. They're mourning themselves. They're saying, oh, woe is me. I've got it hard. I've got a bad life. God's not smiled on me. God's not let His sunshine shine in my direction. And they're having themselves a pity party. And they are their own honored guests. Amen. Then they look at the attractive clothing of the wicked and complain that they are dressed so shabbily. Amen. Perhaps sometimes Christians feel this way. Amen. Sinners wear attractive clothing that's flashy, flamboyant, and gets people's attention. But saints wear what they can afford. Amen. Amen. No, not necessarily flashy or worldly. Praise God. Amen. Christians, by the way, let me say this. Christians should not be envious of the world. But I'm afraid some Christians envy the seductive and sensuous attire of the harlots of Hollywood and the flaming perverts of France. Amen. They envy that. Now, I don't want to wear... I'll just say this. And y'all, I refuse to wear a blouse. I'm not going to wear a blouse. You know they make blouses for men now? They do. Just like they make pants for women. But I refuse to wear a blouse. Amen. If the Lord will help me, I'm going to wear a shirt. Amen. It's going to be a man's shirt. Amen. 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 And you know why they're making blouses for men? Well, I'll tell you why. Because these perverts from France and from Hollywood and this crowd's promoting that kind of stuff. Amen. Amen. Well, I could say a whole lot of things about that. I'll try not to. But if we're not careful, we'll worry over these things. We'll get envious over these things. And the Lord told us, don't focus on these things and don't worry about these things. Turn to Matthew chapter number 6. Hold your place in Malachi. We'll be back. But just a few pages over. Matthew chapter number 6. I want to read you a number of verses. You know these, I'm sure. This is in that great discourse the Lord gave, the Sermon on the Mount. Matthew chapter number 6 and verse number 25. This is our Lord talking now. And He says in verse 24, you can't serve two masters. No man can, by the way. All right, verse 25. Therefore I say unto you, take no thought for your life, what you shall eat or what you shall drink, nor yet for your body, what you shall put on. Is not the life more than meat, and the body than raiment? Behold the fowls of the air, for they sow not, neither do they reap, nor gather into barns. Yet your heavenly Father feedeth them. Are ye not better than they? Which of you by taking thought can add one cubit to his stature? And why take ye thought for raiment? Consider the lilies of the field, how they grow. They toil not, neither do they spin. And yet I say unto you that even Solomon in all his glory was not arrayed like one of these. Amen. God said that the little lily of the field is better off than Solomon was in all the riches and the gay raiment that he could wear. Amen. Amen. In verse number 30, he said, Wherefore, if God so clothe the grass of the field, which today is and tomorrow is cast into the oven, shall He not much more clothe you, O ye of little faith? Therefore, take no thought, saying, what shall we drink or eat, or what shall we drink, or wherewithal shall we be clothed? For after these things do the Gentiles seek. And by the way, that reference to Gentiles is talking about heathens, unsaved people. For after these things do the Gentiles seek, for your heavenly Father knoweth that ye have need of all these things, but seek ye first the kingdom of heaven, the kingdom of God and His righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. Amen. So they got envious of the world, and Jesus said to us as Christians, don't get envious of the world. Don't long after what they've got. Don't get sidetracked with the bountifulness that they seem to have and the little bit that you seem to have. Amen. Amen. It'd be better, and I'll say it and move on, but it'd be better to just have the baked potato and happiness at home than to have the T-bone steak and have to fuss and fight, amen, and quarrel and complain your whole life. Amen. That's right. One fellow said this. He said, you go in the supermarket and you walk down the aisle and you're complaining, first of all, that you can't find what you need to keep moving stuff around and putting things you don't want in your way. Amen. And then you get there and you find what you want. That's a bag of potato chips. And you get that bag of potato chips. You go to pay for stuff and you get there. You know what to do? You complain at the checkout aisle. You complain, first of all, there's a line. You complain that the person in front of you can't count because it obviously says 10 to 20 items. And you complain that they can't count. Then you get up there and you pay for it and you complain that you got so few groceries for so much money. Amen. And then you get over there to the house and you open that bag of potato chips and you say, wait a minute, this is half full of air. And you complain about how little there is in that bag. And then you bow your head and say, oh Lord, I want to thank you. Now listen, you've complained for 20 minutes and you're going to thank Him for 20 seconds. Something wrong. Amen. I say, oh me, but that's right. Something wrong. Listen, I believe America, we have raised a land of complainers in America. God help us. Amen. God help us. The real problem here is that those who are complaining about their lack of reward for serving God, we're not really serving God. Amen. Hey, we're not serving God like they imagined that they were. Amen. And I'll say this about us. Those who envy the world are not really as righteous and godly as we may think we are. Amen. If we were as righteous and godly as we think we are, we wouldn't want the things of the world. Amen. We wouldn't long for the things of the world. Amen. Amen. If you want to know whether or not it pays to serve God, don't ask the man who's not served God. Amen. If you want to know whether it pays to serve God, don't ask the man who has not served God or is not serving God. Amen. Don't ask the one who maybe he served God for a little while, but all the time he was longing to get back out in the world. Don't ask that crowd. I'll tell you who to ask. Ask the fellow that's sold out to God. Now ask the fellow that really is serving God whether or not it pays to serve God. Amen. And you might hear something like this. When you say, does it pay to serve God? You might hear him say, well, I was lost in sin. I was bound by the bondage of my own wickedness. Amen. Jesus found me and delivered me from my bondage. Amen. Amen. He might say something like this. He might say, you know, I was there in that bondage and I'd give anything just to have freedom. And Jesus came by and offered me freedom for free. Amen. Didn't cost me anything. Now I've got a family. Amen. Now I've got a home. Amen. Praise God. Now I've got something that I just dreamed about in the past. And you ask me, does it pay to serve God? By the way, that's just in this life. When this life is over, you can follow me to the grave. And when the trumpet sounds, I'll come out shouting, praise God. Hallelujah. Amen. And if I die penniless, still the angels will carry me to Abraham's bosom when it's my time to go. Amen. And then the trumpet's going to sound and I'm going to come out shouting and I'm going to go to reign with Him forever and ever. And then I'm coming back after 7 years and going to be on white horses and reign with Him for another 1,000 right here on this earth. Amen. Does it pay to serve God? Sure, it pays to serve God. These folks are arguing that it don't pay. God said, you're making me fed up. You know why? Because they're saying it don't pay and they hadn't even tried it.
That's right.
Amen. I imagine that fellow might say this. You ask me, does it pay to serve God? Well, right now I've got joy unspeakable and full of glory. Whereas before I was hateful and hate-filled. Amen. Right. Now I know real happiness. Amen and amen. Does it pay to serve God? Well, I'm pardoned by His grace. Amen. I'm renewed spiritually. Amen. I'm rejoicing in my heart with peace. Amen. I'm telling you, this world would love to have just a taste of peace. Amen. Malachi chapter 3, verse 15. Verse 15. They go on to say this. They escalate it. Not only they said it don't pay, but look at verse 15. And now we call the proud happy. So they're saying it does pay to be ungodly. And now we call the proud happy. Yea, they that work wickedness are set up. Yea, they that tempt God are even delivered. So the people of Israel, having focused the spotlight on their own supposed unprofitable service, not only pronounced themselves cursed, but they pronounced the heathen blessed. They're saying that the ungodly are blessed of God. They actually come to believe that earthly prosperity is the standard that we gauge everything by. Amen. They've come to the thought, and by the way, that is the idea the world wants you. They want you to get to thinking about the lifestyles of the rich and famous. They want you that to be your goal. They want that to be the standard you set everything else by. Amen. If you're not living in as fine a home, then you're underprivileged. If you're not wearing as fancy clothes, if you're not living that lavish lifestyle, they want you to think you're being cheated somehow. Amen. Amen. I'm telling you, and I could say a whole lot about it. I don't mean to just rip, but there are a lot of people. There are people that do not get up and go to work in the morning, but they'll have their things to buy their food hand delivered to them practically. And you know what they'll do? They'll complain that it's not more. They're not getting what they deserve. That's what they'll say. They're not getting what they deserve, and they're not getting what they deserve, I'll be honest with you. Amen. Amen. You say, preacher, don't you believe you ought to help people? I believe that Bible is full of helping people. Amen. But I don't believe that we ought to just hand out. Somebody said we ought to give them hand up and strengthen them and help them. I believe that is right. Amen. But this crowd is always complaining that it's never enough, ought to be cut off for a while, let them find out. Amen. Amen. Let them find out what it's about. Amen. Well, let me get in my notes here. These people are complaining that they're not blessed of God, and they're saying the world is blessed. You know why? Because they're gauging it by a worldly standard. They've been duped into forgetting about the hereafter. They are not taking eternity into account. Amen. By the way, that's the problem of sinners in our world today. They're living for now. They think now is all that matters. They think today is all that matters. Get all the gusto you can get. Live it up while you can. Make much of today because tomorrow might never come. And they never plan for eternity. Amen. These deluded Israelites had come to the place that they called the proud happy, they said. They called the proud happy. These are people who are diametrically opposed to God. God said, He resisteth the proud. Now, here's what it means. God said, if you're proud, you're on the opposite side of me. You're on the wrong team. That's what He's saying. If you let pride get in you, God said, I'll choose sides with the other side when you get proud. And so they're saying the people that are against God are actually blessed of God. That's what they're saying. They're happy. Happy. They're blessed. And they don't take into account that God hates pride. Amen. And God has set Himself in battle against the proud. Yet these people think that the proud are the happy ones. Then they go on to say that they that work wickedness are set up, meaning that they are exalted, that they are forwarded in their life by their wicked works. You see, the Israelites saw wicked kings sitting on the thrones all around them. They saw wicked kings in every heathen land that was around them, and they thought that these things were because of their wickedness. They were prospering because of their wickedness. They saw wicked businessmen seeming to get ahead and seeming to profit. And they thought these guys, quote unquote, had it made. Amen. Again, they're only looking at a small segment of time, and they're looking through the eyes of the flesh rather than through the eyes of faith. Amen. And I'll say this, the eyes of faith can see much better. Amen. Amen. Sometimes we fail to look through those eyes. We become focused in our eyes of the flesh. And finally, they declared that people who actually stand up rebelliously against God, they say they're actually the ones that are faring better. Look at verse 15, that last phrase. They that tempt God are even delivered. Now, how do you tempt God? The Bible says God can't be tempted with evil. They're not tempting God to sin. But here's what they're tempting God's wrath. They're tempting God to wipe them out. Amen. I remember when I was in school, I saw a few fist fights when I was in school. And I didn't get involved in, well, I did get involved in too many, but I didn't get involved in a whole lot of them. But if you got involved in one, it was one too many. Amen. But I remember seeing fellas get there, and one of them always would be there. One of them would come up and say, go ahead, hit me, hit me, hit me. I mean, he's asking him to hit him. Sometimes I want to step in and say, hey, I'll do it. but it's like the world. The world's pushing out their chest, and the world's looking at God saying, all right, God, go ahead and hit me. And you don't want God to hit you. Amen. You don't want God striking. Amen. These people are proud. And here's what Israel said. They said, these people are actually flourishing. These people, they've got it made. They're set up. They're living the life. They're even delivered. They have got it made. That's what they're saying. These wicked people. Now, these stout statements in their conversations had been proclaimed against God's providential care. They're saying, God, you're not being fair to us. You're not being fair to us. These people are using arguments that seem, in my mind, to fit our society today. When people look at who's elected to national office in the political realm, they might say, wickedness pays. Now, the Bible says all liars shall have their part in the lake of fire. Amen. Said a Sunday school teacher was teaching one Sunday. She said, who knows where liars go? A little boy said, the White House. They do for a while. They go somewhere else later. Amen. They don't all go there, but some of them go there to the White House. Others, they still go to the same place at the end. Amen. Amen. But they look at it and they say, you know, it looks like that those elected to national office in the political realm are those who are wicked, and we say wickedness pays. When people look at who's exalted on TV or on the movie screen, they might say that rebellion and adultery pays. When people see whose pictures are embellished on the magazine covers, the websites, and the billboards of our highways, they might say that proud and haughtiness pays. But follow these people down the road for a little while. You'll find that they're living a life that is a lie. They're living a lie. While they portray to be happy, while they portray to have a contented life, in reality, they are far, far from that. Amen. Most of these people that we're talking about, that their pictures plastered on the billboards, their names are on the marquee, most of those people are addicted to some mind-altering substance because they can't stand to live in their flesh. That's right. By the way, you know why people like to be actors? Because they don't like to be who they are. And we can brag on them. Boy, they're so good. They're so good. And they will eat it up because they hate who they are. They want to be somebody else. And they can't live in the life that they're living. Many of these are hiding things in their past that haunt them in the night. And they're running from things in their life that threaten to bring it all crashing down. Because to get where they are, they've had to sleep around. They've had to cheat around. They've had to lie around. They've had to do all these things in order to get ahead and get where they're at, and they can't stand themselves. They can't stand to close their eyes and be in their own mind and hear the thoughts and remember the memories that run through their mind. They can't stand it. Many of them have been through multiple marriages, multiple divorce courts. Amen. They've got children scattered from here to yon. Amen. And they don't even remember what it feels like to be loved. Amen. It's all an act. They put on the face that they're so happy. But in reality, they're sad. In reality, they are empty. They look like they have got it made. By the way, if they got it made, let me ask you this. How come most of them, many of them, wind up overdosing, hanging themselves, or blowing their brains out? Amen. I'll tell you why. Because of the demons that's in their mind. The demons that's in their past that haunt them. Amen. Amen. And the most tragic thing that happens after their death is that when they do that, when they end it all, it puts an end to this horrible life, only to wake up in one much worse. Only to wake up in the lake of fire, in the wrath of God burning in punishment forever and ever. Here's what Jesus said, Matthew chapter number 16 and verse number 26. For what is a man profited if he shall gain the whole world and lose his own soul? Or what shall a man give in exchange for his soul? I'm going to ask you the question these people ask. Does it pay to serve God? Does it pay to serve God? The answer is that it actually pays great in this life and even greater when this life is over. Amen. Amen. Does it pay to rebel against God? The answer is it actually costs dearly. It costs in this life. But it costs so much more
in the life to come. Amen. Amen. Now, I know there's some that it looks like they're getting by. It looks like there's no repercussions in this life. I'm a neighbor lied and cheated and stole. And they're right there in the fame, but they got the spotlight. And they may die that way and people bragging on what a great person they are. But can I tell you this? I don't know what the rich man's funeral was like that the Bible talks about in the book of Luke. But I imagine that that rich man's funeral, they was bragging about what a great man he was while he was frying in the pit of the damned. Amen. I pictured, and I years ago in my early ministry, I tried to preach a message using imagination and going through what it might have been like. And I don't advise all that. I advise preaching the Bible. Amen. But in my mind, I imagine that the stained glass windows at the big cathedral where he preached said contributed by the rich man. That this pews had his name on the side, but his name wasn't written in the Lamb's Book of Life. What good does it do to be bragged on from the pulpit when you're laying a corpse, knowing in reality that when you're there, you're not there. You're lower than there. Amen? You're in the heart of the earth. You're burning in fire. And you are going to get a reprieve when God brings you up to the great white throne judgment. But it's just a moment's reprieve. And you'll hear those sad words, "Depart from me. I never knew you." You think you got it made then? I'm telling you, these Jews, they'd come to be duped. I'm talking about the people of God that sat on the pews, that heard the preaching. They'd been duped into believing the world's got it made and I'm being mistreated. I'm telling you, if anybody's got it made, it's us that's in here. Amen. Being rescued by the grace of God. Amen. We've got a life worth living. And when it's all over, we'll have a life for eternity. Amen. 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 Can I tell you, it doesn't pay to rebel. Amen. Doesn't pay to rebel. It doesn't pay to live a rebellious life. The penalty is so steep that a man would be a rank fool to rebel on God, refuse God, and choose to go the way of the world to just gain a few trinkets that'll burn one day. Let's stand to our feet with heads bowed and eyes closed. Does it pay to serve God? That's the question these men were asking. God said, "You're making me mad even trying to contemplate it, and you're saying that the wicked are blessed, the wicked are better off than you are." And God said, "I'm getting tired of hearing it." Amen. Heavenly Father, Lord, I thank you for your blessings and grace. Lord, I want to thank you, first of all, for saving me. I'm like the man I read in my notes there that I put down in my imagination. If they'd ask, does it pay to serve God? Lord, I was lost in sin. I'm like the song said, I was sinking deep in sin, far from the peaceful shore. Very deeply stained within and sinking to rise no more. When the master of the sea heard my despairing cry. Lord, I want to thank you. From the waters you lifted me. Now safe am I. Lord, I'm blessed. I'm blessed with a home. I'm blessed with happiness in my heart. I'm blessed with the privilege to go to the house of God and feel the Spirit of God as He moves and strums the chords of joy in my heart. Lord, I'm blessed. Lord, help us not to get envious of the world. Help us not get sidetracked by the glamour and the glitter and the gold of the world. Lord, help us remember. Help us remember that we're purchased with something much more precious than silver and gold. We're purchased with the precious blood of Jesus Christ. Help us to glorify you. Lord, I pray, move in this time of invitation. If there be someone here, Lord, that don't know you as their Lord and Savior, Father, I pray today'd be the day they'd fall out with sin. They'd turn their back on that life they're living and come to God. Lord, I know you've got to call them. I believe you will. I pray, Lord, call them, draw them, woo them, win them. Put them in the family of God by your grace. Lord, we're asking it in Jesus' name. Amen. If you need to come while we sing,
164.
If you need to come, come on, do business with the Lord.